Good morning, guys. Oh, there we go. I love it. Interactive audience on a Sunday morning. Woo! Man, I got to tell you, this is probably getting closer to Jimmy's favorite time of year than it is getting close to my favorite time of year. I was riding in on the motorcycle this morning and, kind of went in the t-shirt with a helmet, and it was kind of cold, which means fall's coming. And you know what? Jimmy loves winter. And honestly, I wish I was up here in flip-flops and shorts, because that's just kind of how I roll. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Robert. I'm one of the elders here at First Baptist Church. If you don't know what an elder is, it's kind of an interchangeable word with pastor. What we're doing here at First Baptist Church is we're actually going to a plurality of elders, a plurality of pastors, and we're trying to go with a shared leadership here at the church. Obviously, Jimmy's casting the direction, and we're following where God's taking us through him and his leadership. But as elders, we're trying to come alongside him and pastor so that we can greater meet the needs of not only this body, but the community as a whole. And I think there's no greater time of need than right now during the pandemic and everything else that's going on. So anyhow, I'm excited to be up here this morning. My wife's already told me, dude, you need to slow down, because you're excited. And I am. It's God's word. Today we get to get into John chapter 9. But I kind of want to recap real quick, because I feel like 8 kind of sets us up. And I'm not the guy who's going to dig in, you know, really, really deep down and dissect every word. But I want to give you that 30,000 foot view or 60,000 foot view of where we've been, so it better helps set the stage to where we're going. So in John 8, if you guys remember in the beginning of that, there was a woman who was caught in adultery. She was like caught in the act of adultery. And, you know, the Pharisees brought her in front of Jesus. And, you know, Jesus basically said, hey, you know, he who's without sin can cast the first stone. And guess what? Everybody kind of walked away. And, you know, Jesus is the only one left standing because he is the only one who was without sin. And he says, hey, you know what? No one condemns you and neither do I. So, you know, go and sin no more. So then Jesus goes ahead and he makes this proclamation about being the light of the world. You remember there was a festival going on, there was a menorah that lit up the town, and you know, and now Jesus is saying, dude, not only am I going to light up a town, I'm going to light up the world with the word of God, with who I am. And so he goes from there, and then Jesus tells the Pharisees, you know, this is a great conversation started right here, tells the Pharisees that they're sons of the devil, because they're not believing in his word and they're not abiding in him. So if you ever really want to have a fun conversation, just go tell them that, you know, they're children of the devil. It works out really well. And then finally, at the end of that, at the end of chapter 8, Jesus comes out with a truly, truly statement. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And there's this declaration of his deity. In this moment, he says, I am, I'm Yahweh. Well, they picked up stones and they started after Jesus, and Jesus hid himself and kind of made his way out. And what I find really kind of interesting about 8 is it starts off with a potential stoning and it ends with a potential stoning, because these people were blind to God's word. They were blind to who Jesus was. And I think this blindness kind of really brings us into where we're going to go here in chapter 9. So, if you guys will, let's open up our Bibles. Hopefully, it'll be up here on the screen, too. We're going to start off in John chapter 9, verse 1, and I'm going to read this whole thing. So hold on to your hats. Here we go. John 9, starting in verse 1. It says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, then anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed, and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him. He kept saying, 'I am the man.'" So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now this was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But he now sees. We do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. And we know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anybody is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard of that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. It is, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin and would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the word of the Lord. God, I really thank you for this morning. While it's my voice that has been heard, it's your word that's been proclaimed here this morning. And God, I ask that, Lord, that you would just speak through me. Lord, I pray that you would open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to your word, that we might see you, that we might walk out of here changed and different. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to break this down chunk by chunk this morning. And I'm going to really try not to break Jimmy's record. If you know, what was it, an hour and 45 minutes? No, it wasn't that bad last Sunday, but I am going to try to work through it as quickly as we can. So we're going to start off in verse 1 through 7. And then it says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents that were born blind? And Jesus answered, it's not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the work of God might be displayed in him. Now, there was this belief that human suffering during this time was a result of sin. So the disciples are asking an honest question. You know, why is this guy blind, right? Is this guy blind because of something that he has done? You know, is there a sin that he committed and therefore that's why he's blind? Or is he blind because his parents committed a sin and his blindness is punishment for the parents? And Jesus is saying, it's neither. He said, you know, we hear it right here that he was made blind, that the works of God might be displayed in him. You know, it makes me think of 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10, that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, there's a weakness here that we're seeing in this guy, his blindness, and God's getting ready to make his glory known through this. So I want to keep reading here because the story gets really weird at this point. It says, Jesus then says in verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, then went and anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. All right, let's just pause here for a minute. All right, I want you to just close your eyes for a minute because you're the blind guy. All right, this is what we're seeing. We're seeing absolutely nothing. And you've been sitting in the synagogue for quite some time. You know, you've been sitting there, you've been blind since birth, you've been begging there. And you've probably heard this same conversation coming by again and again and again, the same one the disciples. Oh, look, there's the blind guy, right? You know, I wonder who sinned, him or his parents. You know, there's this piece of shame, there's this piece of whatever coming along. And Jesus is starting to tell him, hey, dude, the guy's not blind for this reason. He's not blind because of sin. He's blind because the works of God are going to be made evident to him or through him. And the guy's got to be thinking here, wait a second. They're not judging me. What's going on here? And then all of a sudden he hears, you know, and he's probably thinking he just dodged a bullet, right? Because, you know, I don't know, maybe he's been spit on before, maybe he's been condemned before, but, you know, he's like, phew, dodged a bullet. And then he hears something in the ground, and he's got mud on his face. And this guy, Jesus, says, hey, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Nothing else, nothing about his sight, nothing about anything. And it's kind of obvious. I mean, he's got mud on his face. He's got to do something about it at this point, right? I mean, he could grab the edge of his cloak and he could wipe his eyes, but it's pretty evident he needs to go wash his face. And so he goes in obedience. And it strikes me as interesting that he has to go to this pool because he's blind. Jesus says, go to the pool of Siloam. Does he even know where it's at? He's blind. So he goes in there and he washes his face, expecting nothing more than to get the mud off of his face, right? And this spit and whatever has just taken place, expecting nothing more than to be clean. And when he's done washing, you open your eyes and he can see. World has just been rocked, right? He's not anticipating this. I'm expecting to get mud off my face. That's what I'm expecting. And yet I've received my sight. So I kind of just want that to sit with you. Because it's set with me this week as I've been studying this passage, like just from the view of the blind man, how that's played out. So then we go into verse 8. It says, the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who sat and begged? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, it's like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they asked him, then how were your eyes open? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. First thing that just completely jumped out to me here, and I hope it jumps out to you, is that when God changes somebody, when God comes in and does something, sometimes you're not even recognized by the people around you. Like they did, he's sitting there going, it's me, I'm the blind dude. Like, hey, no, seriously, I was blind and now I see, you know, like, no, it's not him, but I'm sure it's like him. You know, could have been him, but I don't know that it is. You know, there's this piece of doubt that's taking place there. And, but here he is, you know, saying, no, I am the man. And I also find it very interesting that at this point, they're asking, who do you say he is? You know, who was it that gave you your sight? And he says, man, it's just a man called Jesus. It's really all he knows. I'm sure he's heard a little bit of talk about Jesus around the temple because there's been a lot going on. I mean, as we've seen in chapter 8 and we've seen before, you know, Jesus is starting to create a little bit of buzz around town. So he's probably heard a little bit about him, would be my guess. So he's like, yeah, it's just this man called Jesus. That's all I know. He's the one who gave me my sight. So, and from this point, I want you to see the progression in the blind man's life of how he begins to view Jesus, who's just a man right now. So, verse 13. So they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. I think that's really key right there. Being the Sabbath, opening the man's eyes wasn't the sin, right? The sin, you know, where Jesus, quote unquote, messed up in the Pharisees' eyes was where he spit on the ground and he kneaded the dirt. It's like kneading bread, kneading mud. He did work. That's where he violated the law. That's where he violated the Sabbath. And so it says, so the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And they said to him, and he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now remember, just a few sentences ago, Jesus was just a man. Jesus has now been escalated to prophet. So do you hear this thing that's going on in the blind man's head? He's like, dude, I was blind and now I see. Nobody can do something like this. Like, you know, he's got to be wrestling with this set of circumstances that's going on here. He's got to be like going like, how did I get my sight? You know, what took place here? So he's got this going through his head and it's like, you know, maybe he's like a prophet. Maybe he's like Isaiah. Maybe I don't know. He's got to be a mouthpiece of God because this is the highest ranking that he's got right now, right? In his mind, you know, is a prophet. There's no greater than the mouthpiece of God. And so he's calling Jesus the mouthpiece of God here. in this moment, the one who restored my sight. So we continue on. Then the Jews did not believe that he had been blind, and he had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked them, "Is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "Ask him. He is of age." So to be of age, you know, best I could come up with is the kid's 13 years old or older. So he's been blind for 13 years. He can legally give testimony at this point in time. But I want you to see the parents' response in this moment. You know, the parents' response in this moment is fear. They're afraid. They're afraid of getting kicked out of the synagogue. All right? For basically 1,500 years, you know, since Moses has laid down the law, this is the way that we've walked. This is the way that we've gone. This is the traditions that we follow. This is where we're at. This is how we stand justified before God, is within the temple, right? And if I say that Jesus gave my son sight, I'm going to be kicked out of the temple. I'm going to be kicked out of the synagogue. I am no longer going to stand justified before God. So they're scared. So they're God-fearing people, but they throw their son under the bus a little bit on this one, right? Like, hey, ask him. You know, I don't know how he got it. You know, you go talk to him. He's of age. Where do we walk in fear? You know, where do we walk in fear? So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, though, I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" And I want to stop right there. You know, do you hear the boldness that he's gaining in this moment? You know, he's becoming confident in what he's seen happen in his life. He's recognizing what's truly taken place. There's a boldness that's happening in his testimony. And I think that that's key. We need to recognize that we have what we need within our testimony, that we should have a boldness within our testimony, right? Because even when the Pharisees hit him with the hard questions, you know, "We know that this man is a sinner." You know, guy says, "Man, whether or not he's a sinner, I really don't know. What I do know is I was blind and now I see." So when we run into those relationships within the community, when we run into those conversations where you feel like you have to have all the answers, where you feel like you have to be theologically trained, where you feel like you need to know every piece of apologetic that's possibly out there, no, what you need to know is, man, I was blind and now I see. You let God do the work. It doesn't mean that you don't study the Bible. It doesn't mean that you don't pursue, you know, holiness. It doesn't mean that you don't walk through the sanctification process. It doesn't mean that you don't enter into community, but you let what God has done in your life and through his word speak through you. And that makes the difference. So he says, again, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, though, I was blind and now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already. Do you want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses," that 1,500 years of tradition. "We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does the will of God, and God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. You know, what's interesting here is in verse 30, again, as young as 13 years old, this guy is quoting some verses out of Psalms, you know, like Psalm 34, 15, or Psalm 145, 19. He's quoting these pieces. He's saying, "Hey, man, these are the things that I've heard sitting here in the synagogue, you know, and this is what you've said. This is what you've taught. This is what I know just from sitting here begging." And they're like, "You would teach us." No, you were born in utter sin. It's either going back to that tradition of it's either you that sinned and that's why you're blind, or your parents sinned. It's not that the works of God may be given, you know, that God may utilize this to bring glory to his name. You know, they're going back to what they believe. They're going back to their traditions in this. So the guy's been cast out, right? So the blind dude's just lost everything. He's been thrown out of the temple. He's done. And he's walking around like, "I got my vision. It's pretty stinking cool." You know, I mean, he's just gone to bat. And what happens? Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, Jesus went and found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." Man, when we're in those moments where we feel lost, where we feel cast out, man, Jesus is there waiting for you. He's looking for you. He's coming to you. You know, he's always there pursuing. Like, "Hey, I'm here for you. Wherever, I'm waiting patiently." And I think it's beautiful that Jesus starts off the whole thing that he says, "You have seen him, and it is he who's speaking to you." Let me ask you, if you're blind, you're probably really good with listening, huh? You're probably pretty good with smelling. You're probably pretty good with your sense of feel. I guarantee you, the second that guy heard that voice, he knew exactly who was standing in front of him. "Dude, that's the guy who said, 'Go wash your face.' That's the guy." He knew it. But Jesus said, "You've seen me right here. You've not only seen me physically, you've seen me when I restored your sight at the pool. You've seen me as I'm here. You know, you've seen me and you've heard me." And so what does this guy do? He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you'd have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." You know, those are some pretty heavy words there at the end. Because I know that there's times in my life where I've been blinded by my own legalism, where I've been blinded by my own doctrine, by my I can get this done. I've been blinded versus walking in the light of the gospel, versus walking in the clarity of the gospel. That's what I want to ask you today, guys. Are you walking in blindness? Or have you let Jesus restore your sight in a miraculous way? Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's just go wash your face. Sometimes it's not comfortable sometimes to walk the way God calls us to walk. But are you willing to, that you might walk in the light, that you might walk in the fullness of the gospel, that you might walk in such a way that we can make a difference, not only in this congregation, but within this community? Or you can continue to walk in blindness. Utilize the power of the testimony that God has put in your heart to reach those around you, not only within this town, but within your family, that we too could be a light into the world. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for John 9. God, that your word speaks for itself, that we don't have to add to it, and we sure can't take away from it. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're a God who heals, that restores, that, Lord, brings sight to the blind. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to the sin in our life, that we would walk in full repentance, Lord, that we would be able to walk in healing. God, that, Lord, that we would be able to walk in the fullness of the gospel, that we might bring glory to your name, which is Jesus' name. Amen.